mark at the line of scrimmage. Takes the count, takes the snap, turns, looking for Jimmy in the end zone. Touchdown, Jaguars! Touchdown, Jaguars! Touchdown, Jaguars!
And again, Jimmy, as we put you in the Ring of Honor, in the pride of the Jaguars, yeah. It's 20 years to the month that the Jaguars made that dramatic run through December to the playoffs, to the AFC title game. Does it seem like 20 years ago that that team, which is still held as the best Jaguars team ever, right? Yeah. Does that seem like 20 years ago?
It doesn't. It sounds like just yesterday. But the thing I most feel proud of about those years and that team was we didn't take much junk from anybody. We were tough. When you came down here, you knew that you were going to have to battle with, first of all, you're going to have to battle with us. You're going to have to battle with the Heat. And lastly, you're going to have to battle with our fans. And you know when you came down to the jungle, you were in for a war.
You've been a Dallas and in Philadelphia player. And now, you know, your career obviously brought you here. People kind of turn their nose up at Jacksonville. Around the league, they still kind of say, nah, it's Jacksonville. They're lucky to have a team.
Yeah.
What do you say to those people?
I think we made our statement. Well, now, I don't have to say much, but we made our statement early on in our career here in Jacksonville in 96 going to those playoffs. Even in 99, I remember, you know, right before the Dolphins game in that playoff game. You know, we didn't have much respect. You know, the whole state of Florida didn't really respect us.
Called you paper tigers.
Yeah. But to put that whipping on the Dolphins like that, you know, that gave us our due.
Last 10 years, you've had some tough times.
Yes.
Was there a moment that you wondered if you'd ever get back here to celebrate with your teammates and the organization of which you were such an integral part? And if that's true, how does it feel to be here today?
Yeah, I knew it would be a moment when I would eventually be able to come back here. It was just a matter of me getting my life straight and turning my life around, which wasn't easy, Brian, by any means. Just disappointing my family, disappointing the fans. But I was in a fog, wasn't in the right place. And it was just a matter of me getting closer to God, finding a good church home. Like I was telling Coach Bradley the other day, you know, I used to go to church, but I would sit in church and daydream. I would not have the connection with the pastor or minister. And fortunately, I was in Dallas and I went to T.D. Jakes Church. And being in that church and listening to him, I connected. The light came on. And I was crying all through the service. And I remember when T.D. Jakes was like, come on down, join our church, turn your life around, give your life to God. And he said, don't let the devil hold you back this time. And that did it. I immediately started telling everybody, excuse me, get out of the way, let me go. Because that's what's been happening. The devil's been holding me back.
Best route you ever ran.
That's good. I like that.
Your name goes onto the pride, onto the wall. Yeah. There are two guys who I think belong there also. Mm-hmm. Two guys that you're very close to. First of all is Keenan McCardell.
Yes.
I go back in history and look at the receiver tandems.
Yeah.
Stallworth and Swan. Taylor and Rice.
Yes.
I'm not sure that the personal relationship between those two men is as close as the relationship you have with Keenan.
Yeah.
Can you put into words what Keenan means to you?
Oh, it means a lot. And you're right, it's hard to put into words. You know, I've been just kind of struggling to find the right word because I've been asked that question frequently. And my best friend, you know, knowing how Keenan is, a lot of people know Keenan, but I really know Keenan. And I just remember when Andre Rison was cut, right before that Baltimore game, my second start, and Keenan came to me, sat by me in the locker room. And he's like, look, it's going to be me and you. It's going to be a 1-2 punch, and we're going to take this team all the way. And that was the first time he really just had that conversation with me. And we went out, and we didn't lose a game until we lost in the AFC Championship. We did damage. And it continued year after year after year. And we had a competition that was like none other. Me and Kenan's relationship was very special, and it still is special, because when I was going through my troubles in Mississippi on house arrest, you know, he was one of the few to actually make a trip down there and sit with me, my mom and dad, and it was sincere. And that's what friends are all about.
The other is Coach Coughlin.
Yes.
And you know, it's funny, when you guys were young and playing, all the rules, all the constant, you know, nipping like a sheepdog at your heels, it wore on you. You could see that it wore on you. Mm-hmm. Today, when I mention Coach Coughlin, whether it's to Tony or Mark or Fred, you guys start to beam.
Yeah.
Right? You guys, you'd go back and play for him over any other coach, wouldn't you?
Yes, in a heartbeat.
What does he mean to you personally?
He was that second father. You know, I have a father, but my father was in Mississippi. But here, being away from home, you know, he was that second father. And we didn't like it at the time. You know, we complained. We didn't like it. But we weren't mature. But as I've matured over the years, I realized the important role that man played in not just my life, but all of our lives, because all of us feel the same way about Coach Coughlin. It was a tough adjustment. That first training camp in 95 was a beast, and you know it was. And thank God I made it through that, and I made that team. And Coughlin, and I also remember in 99, after I made a couple of Pro Bowls, I thought I was the prima donna. Started out training camp and I wasn't performing up to par. And in front of the whole team, Coughlin got on my butt. He said, "Jimmy, you're just letting this preseason go by." Well, hey, I'm gonna start one of the stars of the team. You're not supposed to talk to me like that. But he treated everyone the same, whether you were a superstar or whether you're the last guy on the bubble or a guy on the bubble. And that's the great thing about Coughlin. You gotta respect that. And now that I've matured and I'm older now, I have my own family, you know, I realized the important role that man played in my life.
Let's wrap it up with this. Life's a journey, right? Yes. I mean, you as a young guy, you know, thought high school, college, NFL, Hall of Fame, right? Yeah. I mean, people tend to think linear, it goes like this. But as we know, it goes like this.
Exactly right.
All over the place. And your journey took you to Dallas, where you saw greatness. It took you to Philly, where you had heartbreak with the broken leg. Yeah. It brought you to an expansion team.
Revolving door.
Yeah. It took you down.
Yes.
And it's brought you back up.
Yes.
So, would you trade any of it?
I wouldn't because it took me going through those hardships to be where I am today. You know, I didn't understand at the time, and this is something that my dad told me. I was like, "Dad, you know, why are all these bad things happening to me? Why me?" And as I'm waiting on a response from my dad, he took his cigar out of his mouth. He said, "Son, why not you? Why can't you be the one to be resilient and help that other someone that's struggling with the same problems that you're struggling with?"
Will we see you in Jacksonville on a regular basis? Because all these people now are going to want to see you.
Yeah. I'm gonna be here more often than not. I do have my house and my family,
and your business,
and my business. But I'm gonna make an effort to be here as much as I can.
Welcome home.
Thank you.